Hi, I'm Kathleen, and you're listening to Speaking of History.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Flash, Washington. The White House announces Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
General Eisenhower informs me that the forces of Germany have surrendered to the United Nations.
I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
One day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
Men will still say, this was our finest hour.
Hello, and welcome to Speaking of History. This is podcast number 22, and today's date is April 22nd, 2006. My name is Eric Langhorst. Welcome to all first-time listeners, and hello again to all returning listeners. Speaking of History is a podcast by an 8th grade history teacher discussing education, technology, and history. You can access the webpage for the podcast at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. It is also available on iTunes, and you can email me at speakingofhistory@gmail.com. In March last month, I attended the 2006 Missouri State Social Studies Convention in Jefferson City, and Kenneth Wynn, State Archivist for the State of Missouri, was the keynote speaker at dinner one evening. I was able to interview him later for the podcast. This information may be of particular interest to teachers in Missouri, but I've also included a link in the show notes on the webpage that includes links to each state's archives webpage, and I would definitely encourage all teachers, no matter where you teach at, to visit the site for their particular state. There's so much information available at each of these sites. So here's my interview with Mr. Wynn. I'm here with Kenneth Wynn. He is the State Archivist for the State of Missouri, and I'm just going to talk a little bit about some of the resources available through the State Archives. Can you tell us a little bit about the archives first, some of the stats or things that people would be interested in knowing about?
Sure. Yeah, it's the largest historical repository in the state of Missouri. It's not necessarily the best known, but we have records dating from 1770 to the present. It's very rich in its holdings. We have 336 million pages of documents. We've got 400,000 photographs and prints. We've got 9,000 maps. And nearly 1,000 movies. It has all sorts of things in it, from Daniel Boone records and records related to Lewis and Clark to it's the largest collection of Civil War documents in the state of Missouri. Hmm. It's really got a lot of wonderful holdings, I think, that people would be interested in.
Hmm. Now, if I'm an 8th grade, or for that matter, any socialized teacher in the state of Missouri, what are some of the resources available for us through the archives?
Well, there's a variety of things. Well, one thing is, if you come to Jefferson City as part of a capital tour, we have a play that we put on. It's 45 minutes. I'm afraid it's a little on the silly side, but it traces all of Missouri history.
Wow.
From the early colonial territorial period and the French down to modern times, with some slapstick humor, but we've been very careful to make sure that it's historically accurate. If you want to look on our website, you don't have to go anyplace outside of out of your home or the classroom, and you can find a lot of things I think would be interesting to teachers. In fact, we've devised a number of curriculum that would be they're meant to be of use to the classroom. These are a wide variety of material related to slave freedom suits. For example, we know about the Dred Scott case, which was a Missouri case, but there are a lot of other ones. They're designed to teach children about the history of slavery in the state, and you can even look at the original slave laws, which are quite short and accessible. And you can look at tales of real life abolitionists who were thrown in jail for trying to free slaves, and learn a little bit about the life of what it was to actually be involved in slavery before the Civil War. But there are a lot of things too. There are online exhibits. There is a state fair exhibit about the origins of the state fair. You can see old posters and Wilbur and Orville Wright were early visitors to the state fair right after they had flown in Kitty Hawk. There is a history of mental illness. Sadly, in the 1840s, the governor of Missouri committed suicide, and it gave people a great sense of that something needed to be done about people who were mentally ill. And so you look on our website, and you can see everything from how the things, from like whether it was eating vegetables or bad sleep or the death of a spouse. You can see all sorts of things. Some are now amusing to us, and some are still very serious about what the causes of mental illness are. There are pictures of lobotomy tools and straitjackets, and then also talks about recent advances in drugs to help the mentally ill. But you get the whole history of the treatment for mental health in Missouri by looking at our website. And there's curriculum for most of these things that I'm mentioning that are designed for people who do middle school, even some for grade school, and then some for high school. So we try to aim it at all levels, and you can see what we have and adapt it for your classroom.
Now, you mentioned millions and millions of items. If you could pick one that is either the most interesting or intriguing for you personally, what one item would that be?
Well, I mentioned earlier about our the amount of records we have written related to slavery, and there's one record in particular that changed my mind a lot. We had not been very involved with court records. I mean, we had a lot of them in the archives. We had all the records of the Missouri Supreme Court, but I hadn't really thought about them a lot. I was paying attention to other things, and then inadvertently I ran across a document of a slave sale from Columbia, Missouri, in 1863, 2 years before slavery would be ended. And there were children as young as 2 years old that were being sold at auction on the courthouse steps. The poster advertising these children, along with mules and donkeys and farm implements, to see the poster was very shocking. And it brought home in a real human way what it was to divide families. Most historians know, of course, that this happened, but to have seen the poster gave it a sense of life that I had not thought about before, and it began to change the direction of the archives collecting and involvement, where we now have a lot more about court records than we had before, and I found them a great avenue into the lives of common people in ways that were totally unexpected, and I think we've learned more, interestingly enough, about average people through court records than many other ways, because they were a common way within a community of settling disputes. Unlike today, we're not very much involved in lawsuits personally today very much. We hear and we talk about it a lot, but in the 1840s, 50s, 1870s, it was very common, we were able to really be able to understand our society. And once you get past the legal language, which is not usually that hard after you get used to it, it offers a good window onto the past.
You mentioned to me earlier that you've been in this position for 15 years. Mm-hmm. How has technology impacted what the archives does in the last 15 years? I mean, there have been so many advances with the internet and imaging and things like that. How has it affected what you do?
Well, 15 years ago, we had no technology. When I came, a few secretaries had computers. I didn't personally know how to type on a computer, it really played virtually no role. Beginning in about 1995, just the common PCs began to spread through our office, and a year or so later, too. We got hooked up to the internet. At first, it meant not too much. I was very proud when we got 200,000 visits in our first year or two. A year or two after that, we had 800,000, and then 5 years after that, we were up to 6.2 million people who visited and asked for specific information. So, it's gone from playing in the Reichsblatt almost no role to now it is probably the principal way people find out about what we're up to. The number of people that can come and visit in Jefferson City practically is, in reality, is small, but this gives people from all over the, not only Missouri, but all over the world access. We have people who we know find out about us from Germany and Africa and Australia, and we've got the proof when they subsequently send us emails or letters or things like that. It's really been kind of amazing. We've engaged in a lot of projects where we have volunteers who help us. We call them e-volunteers because they help us through the home computers. And we've got a big project going on right now where we've had people who are helping us that live in Africa, in England, in Australia, and in most of the states. We can't do a lot of work using volunteers from work. We can do some, and they can make a big difference for us. One of the things is that history is not always the most well-financed of disciplines, and so we've been able to get together to pool our resources of like-minded people and get a lot of things done collectively that we wouldn't be able to do otherwise. And technology has really been our servant with that kind of thing. We've got many more things in the works, and we'll be adding things to our website in a few months for indefinitely. So if you don't like or not finding what you want, come back in a couple of months and you might find it then.
All right. Now, obviously, a lot of these documents have to be in really delicate, you know, hands and things. As far as what are some things that you do to make sure that those documents survive through time? And you know, what would happen if there was a catastrophe in the particular building where most of these documents are housed? I mean, what do you do to create a backup for that?
Well, one of the things we do is we work very hard in preserving them. We have a conservation lab in which the ones that are seriously distressed are treated. Now, we have so many distressed documents, we can't treat them all. So we choose the ones that we consider to be essential or on a project that we're working, we treat them. We have a climate-controlled archive stack area as well. We monitor for heat and humidity. We have specialized sprinklers so there should be ever a fire. We have a place where we keep rare documents to where it takes out all the oxygen out of the air and manages to put out fires without even without any water to make sure that they survive. But a lot of our documents, by no means all, but a lot of them, over 60,000 reels of have been microfilmed, and we have a lot of these reels of microfilm have been deposited in a cave underneath Swope Park. So if something should happen in Jefferson City, a lot of information that is irreplaceable would survive.
As a teacher in Missouri, how can we help you with the archives? Is there anything, any information that you would like to hear from teachers?
Well, one of the key things is that we are designed to help people. There's no reason, we're not there to keep the rain off the documents. We really want to be active. If we are not serving the needs of Missouri's teachers, we want to know about it. We want to know how we can better be of service. I mean, there's no point for us existing without being of use. We consider teachers one of our primary constituents. So if people can think of a way to help us or help them, they should let me know or let my staff know. Or if you're curious about something, don't even have to have a specific thing in mind. But if you want to know something, it's not readily available on the website, give us a call or write us a letter. We obviously, we get our support and our justification in the eyes of the politicians and people that fund us by having a lot of people using us. It's a good thing, and so I encourage everybody who has an interest to get in contact with us or at least look on our website.
All right, and I'll include some on the show notes the links to the website and all the materials so they can go ahead and get in contact with you. So, well, thank you very much, Mr. Wynn, for that inside look at the archives, and I hope that Missouri teachers go to the website and give it a look. It's a great resource, and I know I'm already trying to think of some ways that I can use some of those documents and data in my classroom.
Good.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks again to Mr. Wynn for sharing that information with us. An incredible tool for all teachers, no matter where you teach in the United States. Go ahead and check out the links on the webpage. And again, thanks for listening, and good night. The Speak of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst in Liberty, Missouri, under a Creative Commons license. Visit the website for show notes and links to material in the podcast at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. The podcast is also available on iTunes. Please email all comments and questions to speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Background music for the intro is Z from James Underberg from PodSafe Audio. Thanks for listening.